At the end of each worship service, I pronounce a benediction, and the final phrase that I always say is, "Now let's go be the church." Have you ever given concentrated thought to what that really means? Once a year, we cancel our worship service, and we find some place to serve, and we call it Church Without Walls. CWOW, C-W-O-W, Church Without Walls. Have you ever given concentrated effort to think about what that is really all about? Well, I want to talk about three catchphrases that we use around here that I think will help us understand a little bit more about what it means to be the church and what Church Without Walls is really all about. Church Without Walls is a physical reminder and an opportunity to do what we're supposed to be doing every single day. So here are the catchphrases. Number one is, we don't go to church, we are the church. Boy, you guys got this stuff memorized already. And so we put this shirt together. If you're new around here, you may not have seen this, but this is the shirt that we encourage people to wear, give them away free. Whenever we're doing any kind of workout in the community, whether it's Community Day or the Rotary Club, Spaghetti Dinner, or Church Without Walls. And so at the top of that says, we don't go to church, we are the church. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, which was the Jewish ritual of belonging to God. That's what circumcision represented. It was about this connection, this religion. Neither of those count for anything, but only faith working through love. You see, to be the church is to live a life of faith that is working itself out in love in everything that we do. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus says he was to serve. So Jesus didn't come as religion. He came as the embodiment of all that God is. So people who are the church, well, here's some blanks to fill in. People who are the church will live like Jesus lived. Moment by moment, as we go through our days, in every place that we are, whether work, play, neighborhood, wherever we are, we will live in obedience to Christ, representing him. They will love like Jesus loved, with an unconditional, forgiving, incredible, inexplainable love that comes from the Holy Spirit flowing through us. They will love different from the world, far better than the world. And they will serve like Jesus served. Serving wherever, whenever, however. Being on the mission with Jesus. You know, Jesus served wherever he went, doing wherever he was. The first miracle was at a social event. It was at a wedding. And he turned water into wine because his mom was badgering him. Moms will do that. It was at a social event. Now, it wasn't to save the world. It wasn't to heal the sick. It was to serve. And wherever we go, whatever we do, wherever we are, we will serve. One of the very last things Jesus did was to wash his disciples' feet. Now, he turned it into an incredible life lesson for us, but it didn't start that way. It started out as washing the feet because none of the disciples would do it. It was just common courtesy, and it was an essential reality because they wore sandals on dusty streets, and when they got in, the dirtiest part of their bodies was their feet. And so there would always be the servant at the lowest rung at the door to wash everybody's feet as they came in. But when they came in that day, nobody would wash anybody's feet. And so Jesus picked up the towel and the basin, and he washed the feet. Why? Because that's what needed to be done. That's how we need to serve as well. So being the church means that we live, love, and serve like Jesus every day. So when I say, now let's go be the church, it's let's go serve, let's go love, let's go live like Jesus did, about who we are rather than where we go once a week. Church Without Walls, then, is a physical reminder of the priority of living, loving, and serving like Jesus, as well as an opportunity to do it together. Number two, the second catchphrase is relationships, not religion. So at the bottom of the shirt here, you see, we are the church. relationships, not religion. Now, by religion, what we mean are the traditions, the programs, the going through the motions of stuff that we think is what it means to be connected with God. But rather, it's relationship. Jesus said, Matthew 22, 37 to 40, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Relationships, not religion. It's about loving. And so when people come, first-time visitors, and they ask about the church, my standard response is, we are all about relationships. We're about relationships with God, relationships with one another. We accept anybody who's done anything, anywhere, anytime, doesn't matter how bad they are or think they are, we love them and we accept them because it's about relationships. It's not about religion. Religion is about ferreting out the people who aren't good enough. Relationships are about loving everyone, no matter where they are. And so it's about relationships. So being the church means that we are all about relationship with God and people first and foremost, not just going through motions. And church without walls is a physical reminder of the priority of relationships with New Song people as we serve together and beyond as we serve wherever we go, whatever we do. And then number three, it's not about me. It's about me serving God and others. It's not about me. It's about me serving God and others. Here's the new shirt that we would like you to buy and wear. They'll be available in the weeks ahead. We'll have more information. We debated, we agonized over what we're going to put on this, and we finally came up with this logo because there's a whole lot of different kinds of meanings that you can talk about. This is meant to be a conversation starter. And so a lot of you get logos for a lot of different organizations, and the name of the organization is first because the purpose is to broadcast that name. We wanted to create something that would cause people to ask questions and be a creator, create conversations. And so this is the shirt that you're going to be seeing, and they'll have a lot. We'll have a lot more information on in the weeks ahead. It says, "Oh, you can't read it from there? Come on, can you read it from back there, Katie? No, nope, not even people with young eyes. Larry, you can't see it. It says changing the tune." New Song. That's what we're all about, changing lives, changing the tune. And we'll talk about how to use that as a conversation as we go forward. So it's about serving. It's not, you see, it's not about me. It's not, and so it's not about, do I like the shirt? Do I like the logo? It's not about me. It's about me serving God and others. Jesus was always about serving God and others. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but the interests of others." You see, it's not about me. It's about me serving God and others. We're not the church when we're about serving ourselves. When we're focused on ourselves, when the grid that we use to evaluate is, do I like this? Will I get anything from this? Then we are not what God, not what Jesus was about. The grid needs to be, is this what God wants? Will this honor him? Will this serve other people? Will this help other people? Is this what God wants me to do for others? Being the church then means that we live to serve God by serving others as Jesus did, trusting that God will provide all that we need as we obey. Now, one of the pushbacks I hear sometimes is, well, you know, I got to take care of my needs so that I can be, I can have enough to give to other people. Here's what I've discovered. If you jump down to Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the Apostle Paul says, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" What I've discovered is that when I try to serve myself, when I try to get what I want, it leaves me worn out. But when I strive to be so connected with God that I'm doing what He wants me to do and serving others as He wants me to serve, it fills me up. We were out in Seattle last week, and when we got there, Chad and his wife Liz had just bought a house. They moved into it, came back to Pittsburgh for some family things. Then they went back and they thought, okay, we'll have 3 or 4 weeks to fix up the new house that we just bought before the baby comes. And then the baby came 3 weeks early. So as we're talking to them after the baby was born, Chad's going, I don't know, we got so much stuff to do around here. And I said, Chad, make a list and put my name at the top of it, and we'll do it when we get there. Well, I don't want you to take your vacation and come out here and work all the time. And I said, Chad, that's what I want to do. Because when I'm working with you and we're doing something that will be beneficial to you, it's meaningful. It fills you up. So I got out there, and boy, did he have a list. I mean, he took me seriously. So we did all kinds of work while we were out there, and I got so tired. I got so sore I could hardly walk. But I was mentally and emotionally filled up, because it is more blessed to give than to receive. If I'd have sat around, you know, drinking iced tea at the beach for a week, I wouldn't have been as near as filled up. Physically, I might have been a little more rested, but I wouldn't have been near as filled up, because it's more blessed to give. And if you look at the first part of Acts 20:35, we usually quote the last part. It's more blessed to give than receive, but what he's talking about is all things I've shown you, that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and then remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's about serving. It's not about me. It's about me serving God and others. So Church Without Walls is a physical reminder that life is about serving, and a practical way to do so together. And then finally, 1 Timothy 6:17, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty or proud, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. God gives us those things to enjoy. When we're about Him and we're about others, He gives us things that will fill us up. So July 1st is our next Church Without Walls. Put it on your calendar. July 1st, about a month from now, with July 8th as the rain date. There will be jobs for everyone, of whatever physical ability, whatever talent or skill, there will be something for you to do. So look at me. No excuses. We're not going to have worship here that Sunday. We'll have a group that will meet here if you need a caravan out, or you can go directly there. We're not going to have worship here. Don't put in, oh, okay, I don't have to do, I can have the Sunday off. No excuses. Little kids, Luke, you're going to work. Lyric, all of you. Caleb, all of these little ones, we're going to be there together. And then at the end of our work time, we're going to have a meal together. So some of the work that will need to be done is getting the meal together. And so we'll end it with that. Now, that's a reminder of what we're about and why we do what we do. So I asked Annie to come and share with us. The place where we're going this time is called Horses with Hope. Now, I usually get a little concerned about, okay, where are we going to serve? Because, you know, it's just like we're always trying to find some place to serve where it will make a difference. And God always seems to make the connection. So through Rich doing his internship, and then David and Chloe going out there for some of her therapy, we made this connection, and so we've decided that we're going to serve at Horses with Hope right here in Bethel Park on July 1st. And I've asked Annie to come and share with us, and it's almost 11 o'clock. Annie, we don't get done till like 2 in the afternoon, so just come and talk at... Okay, so come on up and tell us about Horses with Hope. Which mic do you want her to use?
The short one.
So introduce yourself a little bit and then tell us about your organization. And don't scare them off.
I'll try not to. You want to say who you are first? Jamie. This is my daughter, Jamie Lynn. And she is the reason why Horses with Hope exists today. We started this ministry. My husband, Joel, is back there as well. We just wanted to start. When Joel and I first got married, we tried to have some kids, and we tried for 7 years. And then, as the story goes, we gave up trying. And then the Lord blessed us with a pregnancy. And whoever is in this room and does not think the Lord has a sense of humor, you are totally wrong, because I was 40 when he allowed us to have a child. And so because of my age, I had that amnio test done and learned that Jamie Lynn was going to be a special baby.
That's me.
There she is. So as I was doing the research on Down syndrome, I came across therapeutic riding. And when I was younger, in my teenage years, I used to have horses. So, you know, every teenage or younger girl or boy tends to fall in love with horses. And then when I learned that horses are very beneficial to individuals with special needs, that was the moment that I knew God's purpose for my life. And that was 16 years ago that I started learning more about therapeutic riding and volunteering at various centers, even when I was carrying her. And when the time came, I told my husband, I said, I'm going to give up my 20-year airline career and devote my life to this therapeutic riding. And he was like, are you crazy? He said, you can't do that. You know, how are we ever going to support ourselves? And you know, all the things that go on with that. But I told him, I said, the Lord put this on my heart, and I'm going. I'm going to answer that call. And not that it's always been an easy road to travel, but we did travel it. And we ended up back here in Pittsburgh. And this is my hometown. He's from Colorado. This is where we started, Horses with Hope. I went through the training to get my certification. After that, you know, we didn't have any money. We don't own land. We didn't have any horses. So I was like, Lord, how am I going to do this? How am I going to get all this put together? And he kept putting it on my heart, it's not you. You know, it's me. And he did truly provide every step of the way. We originally started the program on a farm in Washington called Horse and Soul. And I, at that time, was going at a church. We were going to a church in McMurray, and someone from that church had said, oh, do you know so-and-so? She has a farm in Washington with horses and teaches riding lessons. Why don't you contact her? So they gave me her contact information, and I called her and left a voicemail and gave her my number on that voicemail and things. And a couple weeks had passed, and I'm like, I don't understand why she's not calling me back. And, you know, so it turns out that I gave her my wrong phone number. That started it, and that's not unusual for me to do, make mistakes.
Wrong number, Mom,
yeah. So anyway, we finally hooked up and started the program there, and we started it small. I started out with three kids with special needs down in Washington, and we grew it to its capacity of 27 there, and then we grew larger. I started having a waiting list, and I was very passionate about these kids doing the therapeutic riding and not letting them wait. So we ended up moving. We went to a short stint at Bethel Park Stables and then did South Park. I renovated a building there in South Park and brought in our own horses under roof there. And then
I overflowed the bucket of water for Jazz.
Yeah, she does that sometimes. Yeah. She'll forget the water's on and overflows it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but Jamie started riding with us at the age of 3. And the reason why, just to give you a little bit of insight of why therapeutic riding works, is it's all because of the movement of the horse having 4 legs. And for every stride that it takes, every step that that horse takes, there's a full rotation of your hips. When there's a full rotation of your hips, it makes the torso sit more upright. When the torso is more upright, it opens up your airways. When you open up your airways, you're able to speak. And it also works on digestion. And that's just for every step. So that horse's movement is repeatable, it's symmetrical, and it's three-dimensional. And so without us even adding in any other activities to work on finer gross motor skills or things like that, just that movement of the horse is doing so many things for these kids as they are today. And then when we were in South Park, we were there for nearly a year, and there was no pasture for our horses. And I don't know if any of you know about animal behaviors, but when horses don't have a pasture, it's kind of like a human being kept in an 8x8 stall for a year and not being let out. They get a little crazy. And we need calm horses for the work that we do. So my sister is Patty Becker. Some of you may know her. She used to be the director of Pregnancy Resource Center. And she was speaking at the Spiriting Center one day. And so Joanne and I went to listen to her speak. And on the way there, I'm sitting in the back seat. And I turn and look, and I said, oh, my gosh, there's an indoor riding arena there. And, hey, there's land attached to that. There's no footprints, so we're coming back. We didn't make it back that day, but we came back the next day, and it was in March, and there was still some snow on the ground. And we're coming up the hill. It's on Brush Run Road. We're coming up the hill, and there's this guy standing there in his driveway like this. And I said to Joanne, I said, look, there he is. So we pull into his driveway, and I said, excuse me. I said, do you own this property here? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, are you interested in? He said, no. And I said, well, I didn't ask you anything yet. And I said, you know, he said, no, I'm not going to sell this property. I said, I don't have any money. I don't want to buy it. I just want to use it. So he listened to us to explain about the therapeutic riding program that we offer, and he said, do you know the Shelpmans? And I said, yes. I said, they participate in our program, have for quite a few years. And he said, oh, well, that's my brother's manager of his shop at Keystone Coachworks over here. And I said, oh, isn't that interesting? Yeah, okay. So he said, I'll talk to you. So he showed me around the property and everything, and that's where we are today. We are stepping into our fifth year out there. He owns a 93-acre property that was not being used. It was all overgrown. It's just a confirmation of God's hand every single step of the way from the time of inception of her to where we are today. And these kids, it's all about them. I mean, we operate with volunteers. We pay a little stipend to the instructors. We are certified instructors. We do continuing education. Aside from the therapeutic riding, we also offer additional equine assisted therapies. One is equine assisted learning, where we work on basic behaviors as far as like trust or relationships and goes on and on and on. And then we also offer equine psychotherapy, where we team up with a mental health provider and work with individuals or groups, giving them therapy as interacting with the horses. And the reason why that is productive is because a horse is a herd animal. And because of them being a herd animal, they have to be very intuitive to their surroundings and to emotions and feelings of the other individuals of the herd. As well as they're very black and white. There's no gray area. So when you interact with these horses, the clients or the groups, as they interact with them, the horses tend to mirror or reflect what's truly inside of each of us. And through those interactions, we're able to pick up different ways to be able to see through a different set of lenses on where we might have some hiccups in our own lives or processes and things like that. So our center, it truly is a ministry. Christ is definitely in the center of it each and every single day, and I give him all the glory for it because he's the one that started it. We do have a video to show you. Just to give you a little bit more insight of who we are and where we are, and then I'll just talk a little bit more after that video.
That was fun. Okay, which way are we going? To the right. So Horses with Hope is a discovery, growth, and learning center, and we're able to offer programs for such a wide variety of individuals throughout our community and the greater Pittsburgh area.
Way to go! Good job, Matthew.
Those with physical disabilities, we offer therapeutic riding, which is actually riding on the horse, and it's the mobility of the horse that enhances their quality of life.
If you think about horseback riding, it's not your traditional therapy. You get to go do therapy but have fun too. I mean, what's more fun than getting on a horse and being able to ride and get such big benefits out of the riding?
Because you're on a horse, and that's a living, breathing animal, you are actually sitting above those that are helping you to assist with whatever instructions are being given to you. So that gives them a sense of independence, which they don't normally get to experience in their daily lives.
To be able to command such a beautiful but large animal, that gives the kids confidence too, that they're in charge, and that's kind of empowering for them. You know, if you're a parent of a kid with special needs, it brings so much more than just riding a horse.
When he first started out, he could not even sit up on the horse. He would literally lean over, and Dad and I had to hold him up under each arm. So it's really built up his upper body and his core to be a lot stronger and to, you know, sit up independently at home.
Well, I think the biggest piece is it provides some normalcy to riders who typically don't have that in their life. It also empowers them. It gives them, such pride in their abilities to see them on the horse and to see them light up as they're, you know, going through that while getting tremendous exercise, building strength. It's just really a special place.
Great job. Nice.
The financial support that is offered to us is directly impacting so many different lives, whether it be those with the special needs or the volunteers that come here.
This place, this organization, it's a healing place. It gives back to the people that volunteer here and to the riders and their families.
It touches children, it touches adults, teens, and in all different kinds of ways, physically, emotionally, socially. There isn't anybody that can't be helped by Horses with Hope.
It allows us to have something to look forward to after a week of school or working. And Bennett gets excited as he gets up and has breakfast. He knows our tradition on Saturdays is to go riding.
I would definitely encourage any family with a child with special needs to get involved in something like this. The social aspect is wonderful. Even if you don't think your child would understand or could participate, once they get here, they really blossom.
All the monies that are raised for Horses with Hope will go right back into the program. The goal for us, ultimately, is to be able to have all of these riders to be able to come here free of charge. We want to expand the program. We want to take it beyond the children that you see out here and include veterans.
Get it, Gene! Nice job!
And we want to make sure that we're providing a top-notch experience for all involved.
About our program.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So as you can see through that video, we use quite a few volunteers per session. There's up to 9 people that we utilize as sidewalkers and horse leaders in our therapeutic riding program. But as I said, also, it sits on a 93-acre farm. We lease about 10 acres of it, and we have to maintain those grounds. So there's always volunteer opportunities for grounds maintenance, grass cutting, trimming, fence line, cleaning out water troughs. It really takes an army to be able to offer these types of services. I'm not crying.
You are.
Well, but thanks. It really means so much to me. No. but I tell you what, honestly, I do give God all the glory in everything that we do out there. And if you're interested in various ways of being able to help us out, number one is prayer. We do not take prayer on a slight note at all. We know that there is much power in prayer. So the best gift any of us can give any others is the power of prayer. And aside from that is volunteer hours. So whether you have children 14 years and up, they can volunteer as sidewalkers in our program. We take them in the all the way up through the ages of 70, 80 years old. So there's really no excuse there either. You know, we utilize pretty much all the different groups. You know, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts. We use sororities at various universities. We're always looking for additional board members if you have interest in doing that as well. And then, you know, financially as well. So if you're able to do little fundraisers, if you have kids in school and they need a project to do, they can do fundraising activities for us. We really concentrated all of our efforts on the last 11 years of service in our therapeutic riding and the equine-assisted learning programs. And this is the year that we're actually going out into the community. And we had this video made. And just to get the community more involved and know that we do exist out there, we serve nearly 50 riders a week in the therapeutic riding program. Throughout the year, are nearly 300-plus in the therapeutic riding program, and then probably another 200 close to that in the equine-assisted learning programs as well. So we're full. There aren't enough days in the week anymore. We still have a waiting list, and we're out there 6 days a week. So it takes the Lord's army and our hands and feet to keep it all running and everything. But, again, I appreciate the opportunity coming out here and explaining who Horses with Hope is and what we do, and I'm really looking forward to having everybody come out to the farm and experience a great time of fellowship and hard work.
Yeah, let's give her a hand, round of applause.
I love this one.
And we appreciate you coming out. We'd like to pray for you before you go. And we're looking forward to being out there on the grounds. And see, now that she's seen everybody, she'll know if you don't show up.
That's right, I will.
On July 1st.
Might not remember all your names, but I have your faces.
That's right. Lord, we're so grateful for all the different ways that you have created to touch people. Lord, it's so exciting to hear how especially these special children are being helped with your creation. Thank you for Ann and Joel and for Jamie, for all of their sacrifice, all of their work for putting this together. And now, Lord, we pray your blessing upon them, that you would provide the strength that they need, the wisdom that they need, that you would give them guidance every step of the way, that you would provide the resources of finances and people, and that, God, as we work together on July 1st, it will be a day when you are honored and when lives are touched. And so, Lord, be with them, watch over them, and use them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.